let's see here. I just go ahead and give it a roll. Alright, so that's a 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Alright, I get to go and Super Saiyan level 2.
Blast.
Alright, your turn, DB3.
Alright, see what I get. 1. Shoot, I only got a 3. 1, 2, 3. Conflict!
Alright, are you ready?
Alright.
I got some good cards here.
Alright, so it's first, don't we have to choose the planet first?
Yeah, spin the spinner.
Spin. Planet Gizorbob.
Hey, don't forget the rarely seen episode in the manga where they went and they destroyed planet Gizorbob with the battle between Frieza and future Frieza, okay?
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, you just ain't elite enough, DB3.
I guess that is. So, wait a second.
Alright, well, I get first roll because you initiated the conflict. Let's see, got a 5. Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's see if you can outdo the 5.
What? A 2 again!
I totally blew you away.
I think you cheated.
I did not cheat. Just because I brought the dice we're playing with does not automatically mean that they're loaded. Now let's see what power cards are. Oh, look what I have. Kamehameha.
No way!
Yep, Kamehameha.
You can't have that!
You've got to go back 18 spaces.
There's no way you're cheating!
Look, I am not cheating, okay?
And you're wrong now! You're not cheating!
Oh. You didn't. Alright, so I have been cheating. Those cards I had taken from my sister's set. But, you know what? No wonder they haven't made this game before. This is bullcrap. I'm never playing Dragon Ball Z the board game again.
Well, it's good, because you always mean to hate you, MZ.
Yeah, well, when you cheat, it's a shallow victory. It really is. I'm sorry, DB3. I've been cheating every game. That's why I always beat you, except for that one time, and I lost when I was cheated, and that was really mad.
I was wondering why you threw the board across the room.
Let's never play Dragon Ball Z again. It's the board game of the devil.
Of the devil.
There's clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and internet-enabled households of all ages, welcome to ASO Radio, episode 58. I, of course, am the exalted and mighty NZ17, as well as my co-host,
the trepid DB3.
Ah, yes, so as you can see, we finally got DB3 to the show. Been a couple of weeks since the last show. It's incredibly hard these days to go and get the old Z-Guy down for the show, but I did get DB3. DB3, will you be able to be joining us on a weekly basis once again?
I should be able to start joining again, no problem.
Ah, very good to hear, very good to hear indeed. Anyways, we have a very exciting episode for you today. We're going to be reviewing the very excellent, if I may spoil our review a bit, Fruits Basket for the anime review. We've got two fan mail today. And we also have a first time ever for the show, or perhaps I'm just being forgetful like I was when we reviewed Serial Experiments Lane last week and we had done that in the past. But hey, that was of the VHS, not the DVD, and it was only me that show. But we'll be reviewing Hinata Girls' Song Best, Love Hina, the recently released soundtrack by Genion, which contains the best selection of songs that were sung by the girls that were voice actresses for the Japanese version of Love Hina. I don't want to tell you too much about the review, but it's going to be very exciting, and you'll even get to hear a bit from the soundtrack. But in comparison to the anime news, all the rest is crap, because we're going to have some really, really funny anime news for you this week, because the thing about going and doing news on this show is we don't so much do the news as to inform the public, because any website can post news to inform the public. But anime news is just a fertile ground for making lots and lots of jokes, and this week is especially ripe. So without much further ado, I think it's about time we get to the anime news.
And now it's time for the Any O'Clock Anime News.
Alright, so it's time for the anime news. DB3, see us ahead.
Tokyo Pop to stream Rave Master. TRSI reports in their weekly newsletter that Tokyo Pop is offering online streaming for episodes of Rave Master. The streams will be available on America Online's Red Service. Streaming started on Thursday, October 14th, and coincided with the release of Rave Master DVD.
Which is very exciting because, as we all know, being anime fans, we're extraordinarily cheap, and if we can get it for free, we'll take it for free. I kind of wish, though, it wasn't just Rave Master, because while Rave Master, respectable show, got some funny moments in it, if I recall correctly, can't we have something like the complete Ranma, you know, anime series? You know, that'd be pretty cool, but, you know.
But see, that'd be logical. Why would you do something logical like that?
Well, I don't know. The thing is, I always wanted to see Ranma on television. I think it would make a very good television, you know, show, being that it was one in Japan. But, I mean, it would be great for, like, Cartoon Network's Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Perfect show. And of course, most of the stuff on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim just tends to be raunchy rather than funny. But Ranma is a bit provocative just for regular prime time.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, tune into Rave Master, I guess, if you can get America Online's Red Service. I don't know if you can just get that from the website, you got to be a member, but, oh well, more power to you. Anyway, some good news for fans of New Type. Actually, it's more bittersweet, but let me get to that. New Type USA is bringing back its DVD insert as part of its two-year anniversary. In August, New Type announced that the DVD was going to become a subscriber-only feature rather than being included with the newsstand. But due to popular demand, a.k.a. wasn't selling, New Type is returning the DVD to the newsstand edition starting in November. But, here's where the bittersweet part comes, it will be raising its price by $3 to the new price of $12.98. Now, this is where I don't get it, Kay, because they claim that they dropped the DVD because of the added expense. And then they go on further to say that they have to raise the price of the newsstand issue because now they're including the DVD. But my question is this. Each newsstand issue of New Type is $10. I know it's $9.98, but we're just going to round here, okay? $10. Now, when you subscribe to New Type, you get 12 issues a whole year for $80, meaning that by the newsstand price, you're saving $40. So how they can claim they're saving money by going and giving the DVD only to subscribers when they get four less dollars that way is beyond me. Because even if they go and, well, we've got to go and give it to the magazine distributors, which go and take that to the various newsstands. Well, that may be true, but still, even with there's a $40 difference there, I think that can be made up by including the DVDs, because really they're just hurting themselves by not having the DVDs and continuing to hurt themselves by now having the newsstand only with the DVDs. What they really should do, I think, is have both editions and then accordingly choose how many issues to order in at each location. So one will have the DVD, one won't, and we'll let the paying public decide. Besides, you know, personally, I think the magazine is crap, but I buy it for the DVD to go and preview anime series, and so I think they should just come out with, like, New Type Lite or something like that, where it includes just the DVD and maybe some, like, articles on the DVD you could read.
That'd be a good idea.
I'd actually go and buy that, because I know there's other stuff out there like Anime Play. They're DVD only. They have a cardboard insert. Haven't actually seen that myself, but I'd give it a try because, you know, really, with New Type, the whole point's the DVD. I might thumb through, see some neat pictures, maybe see one or two articles I'd read, but 99% of it don't care about. Well, we better get going because I've just went into rant mode here. Go ahead and take this next one.
It's about Ghost in the Shell 2 DVD that is coming out in December. It says, ISV2 has confirmed that the Ghost in the Shell 2, Innocence, DVD will be released in North America in December. Unfortunately, folks, that's not in time for Christmas, because it's coming out on the 28th. The DVD will feature the original widescreen release with 5.1 Japanese audio. There will also be no English subtitles.
English dubbed
version. The set price will be about $29.99 or $30.
Yeah, it's a shame that it doesn't have the dub, but on the other hand, we'd have to wait longer for the DVD if we waited for the dub. So I guess you kind of got to take it as you will.
Yeah.
But still, $30 just for one language, I don't know, kind of expensive. All right, well, some good news for our friends living in Australia and probably New Zealand and the surrounding areas of Oceania. Fans looking for information concerning the Region 4 DVD releases of Miyazaki's films can now check Madman Entertainment's Studio Ghibli page for screenshots and the latest release information for Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke, and more. Apparently, Princess Mononoke, Kiki's Delivery Service, Laputa Castle in the Sky, and Spirited Away are all set to be released on the 20th in Australia. It's very exciting times. Just in time for Halloween, you can go and see the very scary Princess Mononoke. Actually, it's not scary, but it does have an appropriate, it's darker than Miyazaki's other films. But a very good one nonetheless. Take it away, DB3.
This is about a new anime coming out, Shoshiko. Japan's oldest movie studio has announced that it is creating an anime division with the intention of creating up to 5 animated movies and TV series a year.
Well, that would be very neat to see, but let's hope that these new anime that they'll be bringing out don't turn out to be horrible, because I'm all for more anime that's good, but I'm not all for flooding the market even further, because the more that you have it deluged with average, the more people are not going to be interested in anime. And speaking of deluged, MSNBC is carrying a report talking about animated pornography, including, but not limited to, anime. That's right, the article, being very objective from what I hear, speaks at length about hentai and the moral debate regarding that and other forms of animated nuclear, and interviews on live content providers, AVN Magazine, and Legal Experts. So, worth reading if you want the URL for that report. I ain't going to read it on here because you ain't going to type it in that fast. Just go over to our news provider, AnimeNewsNetwork.com, and check out the story posted on the 21st of October.
And it's funny, like, MSNBC, you'd think they'd actually put something important on.
Well, see, it's the website. So, I guess that it didn't make the cut for TV, and so there's like, well, we'll put this on the website. But, you know, I don't want to go and say that Microsoft and porn go together hand in hand. You know. Anyways, let's move along.
Our next one's for our friends down in Iraq. EO Manga has announced that it's sending free copies of its Rumble Pack
Anthology?
Thank you, NZ. Anthology to the troops in Iraq, and is inviting anime fans to donate anime and manga that's sent to be along with the Rumble Pack.
You know, this is a really good cause, and most people think, oh, well, we're all over and done in Iraq, all the soldiers are back, but you know, there's not only U.S. troops there, but troops from all over the world still stationed in Iraq, trying to bring stability over to this hostile region, and really, you know, everybody more or less is acted like this is no longer going on, and you've got to feel bad for all of these troops that are still over there, the world's more or less forgotten. So I thoroughly encourage everybody to go over to the EIGO Manga website, that's EIGOMANGA, and check out the, you know, these care package, effort, and go ahead and donate some stuff, because if we like anime and manga, well, let's be honest, most people, after they read a manga once or watch an anime once, they're not going to go back to it, at least for quite some time. And so you might as well send over your excess ones overseas to some people that really need to get their mind off of what's at hand. As, you know, they've got to deal with all this horrible stuff every day. They want to go and bunker down at night and relax a little and escape from the harshness of reality. All right, well, very interesting newsworthy tidbit coming up here next. The 7th Pokemon movie. Yes, number 7 is going to be released here in February. That's right. It's been announced that Pokemon Rocks Atlanta... Yes, there is actually a convention in Atlanta called Pokemon Rocks Atlanta. It was announced that the seventh Pokemon movie, called Destiny Deoxys, will be available on DVD and VHS February 15th. Now, we mentioned this now in October, because, let's be frank here, people, unless you're already in line in January, you're not going to be able to get a copy of this film. It's simply, Pokemania has once again engulfed America, and the set, you know what they say, okay, first the worst, second the same, third the best of every game, but seventh, awesome. Just, you need to get the seventh Pokemon movie, because it completely blows away the fifth one, let me tell you. Alright, well, take this one about Slayer, DV3.
The anime network has announced that it has acquired all three seasons of Slayers. Slayers, Slayers Next, and Slayers Try, and has acquired the rights from Inoki Films, the franchise's principal North American licensor, and it's going to air the series beginning in the early 2005.
And 78 episodes might not compare with the length of Dragon Ball Z, but I'm sure the content is a bit more concentrated and possibly, now I'm not saying it is, possibly better. Maybe even more story-focused. But, interesting thing here, Slayers, actually all of Slayers has previously been aired on the International Channel. Slayers, Slayers Next, and Slayers Try all aired on there, subtitled in the original Japanese. Very worthwhile watching of that. Look not to be from, you know, a Japan release that was subtitled, but the actual official North American subtitling. Very good show, really like Slayers, but... don't have any Slayers DVDs at hand, or we'd review it for the show. And speaking of Dragon Ball Z, yes, this ties into the funny which we had just a bit ago, it's been announced that Parklife Games will be releasing the very first, as far as I know, Dragon Ball Z board game. But not just any board game, trivia board game, okay? Yes, really, who doesn't know a boatload about this 500-plus episode series? Because the show's all about the trivia, the little facets, the little no knowledge, not the 18-episode-long single fight. Anyways, it'll be out in time for Christmas, and according to their press release, this is the first trivia board game ever compiled to entertain and challenge American anime fans. Well, I'd like your next release to focus not just on Dragon Ball Z, because while a well-known and respected series, and I understand wanting to get your foot out the door with a well-known franchise, how about we open it up a bit? I recommend consulting the Anime Trivia Quiz Book. Very good two-book series. Don't think they have a third one out, but it's worth checking out, certainly.
And the official Gigantor trailer has come out. You can find a 30-second streaming available in multi-formats.
Yes, over on the official website for Taitsujin 28 Go, which is the Japanese name for Gigantor. Now, I pose a question for you here, DB3. What, now this is a bit of a riddle, mind you, but what do the Japanese and not letting go of things have in common? About 18 anime series. Because every decade it seems certain anime series will have a new entry or a remake of a past one. You've got, you know, Kimba the White Lion, you've got Astro Boy, you've got Gigantor, you've got Gundam, you've got Macross, you've got Tatlabar, there's, you know, I'm sure Dragon Ball Z will have the same happen to it. There's just certain anime series that they just can't let go of. The people somehow think, you know what, with today's technology, we'll tell an even better story than in the past, because it's technology that defines the story.
You left one off of that. I was watching, Jetix on Disney, and they're playing Speed Racer.
Oh, yeah, I can't forget the gajillion new version of Speed Racer. I mean, with the first Speed Racer, it's cheesy and schlocky, and that's part of its charm. And you can take it as being, you know, part of the 60s and everything, and not so serious. But when it's, like, the new ones, it's just plain out sad.
Yes.
I mean, it really, really is. Anyways, moving along. Nelvana has announced at MIPCOM 2004, along with Funimation, they'll be releasing a 26 anime series jointly produced by Fuji Creative Corporation, Planet Incorporated, and TV Beam. The ambient unnamed show, it's going to be a children's program aimed at kids 6 to 11, and Funimation and Nelvana will jointly handle the distribution, sales, and merchandising outside of Asia. Now, you may be wondering, what is this children's show about with all these pandas and crazy whoopee-doos? We'll tell you. The panda, from the press release I should mention this is from, is an animal that is globally recognized and irresistibly adorable. And I admit it's widely recognized, but I don't know about irresistibly adorable. With the panda as our platform, we have illustrated a story of adventure, courage, and love, which we anticipate will be universally enjoyed, said Chauvin Trang, CEO of TV Beam Company Limited, creators of the property. A co-production with Fuji Creative Corporation and those other guys, the 26-episode, 30-minute series, which is currently known as TVD, no, not DVD, TVD, is a panda-centric epic adventure set in a fantastical world. Through a twist of fate, a mild-mannered panda, Toby, is plucked from obscurity. Let me interrupt right there. Now, I've seen a lot of pandas on television and in zoos, and quite frankly, I've never met a panda that was not mild-mannered. But I suppose somehow this panda was plucked from obscurity. We all know of the famous pandas of the world, such as the pandas from Go Panda Go. That's about it, really. Anyway, plucked from obscurity and charged with the task of saving his planet. What planet, you may ask? Why? It's the planet of the Pandaleans. And he has been charged with an epic quest to lead a group of these folk, Pandaleans, which I guess are like pandas except they walk and talk like humans and can be obscured and mild-mannered, on a quest to recover the seven beans of power and outsmart scheming rival Cool to win the heart of the aptly blamed Love. Now, I'm glad this is a children's show, because quite frankly, actually, I wish this wasn't a children's show, because it would make a really funny show geared towards adults. Because, I mean, the seven beans of power, what are they going to do, make a salad? And, of course, you must win the heart of Love, because, you know, a girl panda being named Love, this couldn't possibly be who our hero will try to woo. Maybe, not at all.
Maybe they get the seven beans of power from Jack before he plants them.
Oh, I see. And then they'll use the stock to go and save the planet from Cole's flying fortress. Ah. Well, enough of our ridiculous anime news. Let's go and touch upon I guess you could say it has a ridiculous premise, but heartwarming tale of a cursed family. That's right. Up next, we review Fruits Basket.
It's not a new view, it's not a preview, it's a review. Anime review.
Alright, DB3, this episode we shall be reviewing Fruits Basket.
Yay!
A very delightful story indeed. Actually, the manga was the number one shoujo for quite a time over in Japan, and understandably so. Well, without much further ado, DB3, how about you go ahead and take it away, as I feel I've blabbed enough during the news. Give us a overview of the plot line for this series.
Blast. Alright, I've got names, so...
That's alright. I've got more or less the names memorized, so I'll fill in the blanks.
Alright, there's this girl.
Uh-huh.
She has lost her mother, and she goes living in the forest.
Very sad. Very sad indeed.
And two guys come through the forest and then find her there, and they're like, what? What are you doing here?
Yes, her name is Toru Honda. Very sad how she lost her mother, which actually later turns out was quite the role model for her and her friends.
Yes, they kept reflecting upon it, and it helped them through much of their dilemmas. Now, the people that found her, they are part of a family that has been cursed for much time.
Yes, they are the infamous Soma clan. And each of the, actually the family is cursed, not just the individual members. So some people bear the weight of the curse while others don't. There's, of course, like we said, Toru happens across them. There's Kyo. Kyo is cursed with the sign of the cat. As a matter of fact, the cursed members of the family, cover that, DB3.
Well, the cursed members of the family, every time they're hugged by a member of the opposite sex, turn into their zodiac animal.
Yes, there's one for each of the different members of the zodiac. For example, Yuki, who is the prince of the high school, he turns into the rat. And of course, like we mentioned, Kyo, he turns into the cat, which, while not an official part of the zodiac, this plot point plays in later in the series. There's also, most of the family is just cursory characters. We come to see them in both the anime and the manga, but for the most part, outside of Kyo, Yuki, I forget the name of the dog, he was my favorite character, starts with an S. Do you remember what that was, DB3?
Uh-uh. But he was my favorite, too, and I was quite...
Yes, there's also Kyo's girlfriend, who also happens to be cursed by the Zodiac. She turns into the monkey. Most of the rest of the characters, except for the head of the Soma household, are just more or less cursory, aren't very important to the plot.
Actually, Kyo's girlfriend turned into the boar.
Oh, the boar, that's right. I can't exactly remember the monkey, but like
yeah.
I said, most of the rest are pretty
just,
cursory.
Yeah.
Let's see then. What was the name of the head of the Soma household?
Ah, shoot. I don't... You know, NZ? I just watched this last week and I can't even remember.
Well. What matters, though, is that we'll just refer to him as the head of Soma House. He is, he controls the lives of all of the members of the Soma family. He's very, a control freak. And there's basically two ways that they could go and approach this curse of theirs. One way is to go and hide themselves away from the rest of the world, being ashamed of it, and basically thinking that they're worthless and that they should have never been born, which is the way that the head of the household believes that they should approach things. But then there's Toru's belief on this. Would you elaborate on that for us, DB3?
She believes that they should go out and actually be humans and not be outcast by themselves and others.
Yes, not to be gone and thought of as the freaks of nature they see themselves to be, but rather try to trust people and get along with them instead of hiding them away. And this, of course, flies in the face of what they've been told all their life by the head of the household, and this gets him very riled up. And Toru systematically goes and gets each of the members of the Zodiac, or rather each of the members of the household cursed with the Zodiac's curse, to go and see themselves as worthwhile individuals rather than horrible freaks of nature that should never be. Eventually, however, this gets the attention of the head of Soma House, and he does not like this at all. And so he tries to go and plot and scheme in order to go and break Toru's spirit and make her lose faith in this all, but thankfully Toru is a girl who's been through a lot and knows how to handle the rough aspects of life.
And if she didn't know what to do, her friends would.
Yes, her friends and her deceased mother are a constant source of support for her in times where she's doubting herself. And one of the things I really liked about this series is it's not so much a romantic comedy. Granted, there's romantic moments, there's comedic moments, especially in the first couple of episodes. But the real focus of this is more of a coming-of-age show, where all the characters, they go, and throughout the series, you grow to not only love them, but the characters grow as you watch them.
Yeah.
And this makes them incredibly believable. For example, at the beginning, what I really liked is not only did the Soma characters grow, but Toru herself really grew a lot in this series, from the self-doubting, always apologizing, and always doing what's best for everybody else character, to somebody that actually goes and looks out for what's best for them instead of always putting themselves last, which, while in moderation, putting others ahead of you is good, but not when it's to the detriment of the self.
And many times, people in the Soma family keep asking, why are you doing this for us? It's quite a prerogative series. It made me think a lot, like, just on, like, human feelings and the reactions and stuff.
Yes, it's a very good series. Like Love Hina, it's a love comedy of sorts. But it's a very, very different show. This isn't so much focused on the slapstick as this is focused on what's going on behind the eyes, what the characters are thinking, and what's causing them to react the way they do. So on the surface, a lot of the characters act somewhat crazy. Seemingly, they're doing very irrational, erratic things, but each of them, just like people, real people, have motives and reasons for their seemingly odd ways of behaving. And Fruits Basket does an excellent job of illustrating this fact very, very well.
The name comes from a game that they played in Japan, and they all chose a fruit of some sort, and
it's sort of like Duck, Duck, Goose, or Tag.
Uh-huh. And Tora Honda, she was given the opportunity to be
the rice ball.
Yeah, the rice ball. And everyone was picked except her, and they always just left her there by herself. And yeah.
Well, at first, she thought it was part of the game and was going along with the kids, but she just sat there waiting in her chair to be called on. And because of this early childhood memory, she can easily relate to how the Somas feel of being the rice ball in a fruits basket, the outcast of society. And it really helps her see into the souls of these characters.
Yeah. The only thing I found wrong with the series is how it ends. Like, it leaves you hanging, wanting more. It's just like, ah.
Yes, it has a very good ending, but then it's you want more. You want to see what happens with the characters and how they further go along. It's really, I really wish there was more, because the anime is only 26 episodes long. No movies, no other series, just this anime. And I really wish to have more, because since there's only 26 episodes, but there's 13 members of the Zodiac to be included in the series, just about every other episode introduces a new member of the Zodiac. And because of this, Shigure, that's his name, that's the name of the dog, Shigure. Because of this, half the episodes are just introducing new characters without developments happening. I also like the cow. He was really cool. His personality was really black and white. One moment he'd be really nice, and the other moment he'd be a jerk. And it was really, he was a really great character. Some really funny moments with him. So, yes, the storyline and the characters are very believable, very touching, really gets you involved. And so at the end, you want there to be more, but unfortunately there's not more. Gonna have to pick up the manga myself, see if there's anything to be seen afterwards, because I'm sure the manga probably leaves off at more or less the same point, but you want to know, you know, what happens afterwards to all these characters you become so attached to. The reason you become attached is this anime probably has some of the most realistic characters, the most well thought out and portrayed characters that I've seen in the hundreds of anime that I've seen over the years.
And it's just like, you can relate to them so well because you've felt like you've gone through the problems they're having. I liked it a lot.
Such as the one episode where Yuki was saying, you know, it may be survival of the fittest, but does that mean that it's not okay for us to be weak sometimes and show our weakness, that's somehow inherently wrong? And I thought, you know, that really goes and illustrates good points, because each of the characters feels something that at some point we ourselves have felt.
Yeah.
And this series, like most new anime, it was computer animated, but in the case of this, it lends itself really well. The anime style is actually very close to the manga style. And it's a bit different, the drawing style, but I really liked it. The difference in the drawing style kind of goes and helps make you expect a different sort of anime. It really does. Now, the voice acting in this, it's funny because usually I skip out on the English dub and go straight to the Japanese dub. But on this I couldn't do that, because the English dub was so good that I became addicted to it, and then I couldn't watch the Japanese dub. I just felt that the voice actors, well, they were better in the roles in the English version than the Japanese version. The one downside is, however, is that the voices were oftentimes a lot more quiet than the music. And I saw in an interview with the dubbing director who said they actually turned down the music for the U.S. release so the characters could be heard better. But I wish they would have done it a lot more, because still, in many scenes, the music really overpowers what they're saying.
Yeah.
I found myself having to turn it up in order to hear what they say at times, especially when they're being quiet and self-reflecting.
Yeah, self-reflecting.
But all in all, this is a really good series. Really like the music. Very cute, but appropriately fitting music.
Especially for the scenes they usually played, I mean, they just, like, fit.
Yeah, and the sound effects, I don't know, it just seemed the sound effects were spot on, like they recorded them just for the show or something, in most cases.
I did get that feeling, like, or it's an incident I can think of is, they were doing the dishes and two of them were fighting and they crashed the dishes everywhere, and it went really well.
Yeah. One of the facets we didn't mention is briefly we sort of mentioned it, the Yuki fan club at the high school. And though they could have just played this off as a comedic thing, all these girls vying for the attention of Yuki, who Toru ends up staying with that Soma family because of her house being demolished, they went further than that and not only showed what was going on in the heads of the Soma family, but also the Yuki fan club girls. And so we've got more revealing sort of thing into why they're also obsessed with Yuki. And even with Toru's friends, we get into their heads too, and even see that her one friend was actually jealous of how Toru spends
so much time with the Soma family.
So much time with the Soma family that she spends less time with her now, but she understands that Toru's doing that because, well, they're filling a need that she couldn't fill, and that Toru's still her friend, but that she needs to make way for other friends that Toru may have as well, and not just selfishly keep her.
That's true.
So I guess we better wrap up this lengthy anime review, but of course we're reviewing the whole series in one go here, so it's kind of necessary. I actually wish that I hadn't gotten the box set for this, because I would have rather had the individual volumes and have to buy them one at a time, because if you have the whole box set, you just go and watch the whole box set and spoil yourself, and then there's nothing left.
Yeah.
Or even better, watching it on TV, then it'd be one episode a week, and then it might have driven me crazy having to wait those 6 days, but I would get to go, and it would be, you know, drug out, and so, you know, that's one neat thing is there's time passes between each episode.
Yeah.
You know, so you really get the feeling the characters are alive all from that aspect. So, like I said, really like this series. Some audio problems, a bit slow, I'm sure, for some people to watch, but I really found this enthralling, so it doesn't quite reach all the way up and pull down a top recommendation, but I'm definitely giving this a highly recommended.
I'd have to agree with you there, NG. It's almost there, but I'd have to go with the highly recommend.
Yeah.
My choice.
Some episodes kind of seem like they were a bit of filler, like they had to introduce a Zodiac member even though they'd rather be doing something else, or like I said, the audio problems, it's a bit too quiet. But you're right, it's just so close that you want to give it a top recommendation, but just so falls a bit short because sometimes it's just drug out a bit too long in an episode,
yeah,
or what have you. So the NZ score, highly recommended. The DB3 score,
highly recommended.
Fan mail. DB3, it's time for my favorite part of the show. Do you know what part of the show that is?
Fan mail.
Actually, it's hot bikini waxing that's my favorite part of the show, but unfortunately, supermodels couldn't make it this week. So instead, I guess we'll do the fan mail. Actually, as I've said before, the fan mail is my favorite part because it lets us know that the people out there are listening, but more importantly, that they're caring about the content of the show. First up, we have one from Warp Shadow, a.k.a. Vongulus. Would you please take it away, DB3?
He says, hello, NZ17 and DB3. Thank you for reading my fan mail on your show. First off, it is sad to see T-Man go, but I guess it is all for the best. Are you looking for more people to replace him?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Warp Shadow. If you can handle the 1,000-mile commute, we'd be more than glad to have you on the show. However, right now, we're not actively looking for additional hosts on the show. Number one, it's a bit difficult because you have to find somebody that both likes anime and has a good on-air rapport. And so unless you're the sort of person that can really, you know, bounce off jokes and comments off of each other to make the show flow well, it doesn't really work. Like I said before, Z-Guy is very busy with his work, and so he's unavailable most of the time to do episodes. Hopefully we can change this in the future, maybe have him stop in now and again. But I'm seeing for the foreseeable future, it's mainly going to be me and DB3.
And secondly, a bit of errata. When I was talking about Future Boy Conan, I was not talking about the show on Cartoon Network. Future Boy Conan is a 1978 show directed by none other than Miyazaki.
And I apologize for that mistake. Being that Detective Conan came out about the same time, I just assumed that the two shows were the same. And I apologize to listeners about this mistake.
And finally, have you heard of Enigma? It is currently a manga series, but is going to be animated in 2005. Being the big Latina fans that we are, I will definitely look into this one for you.
Yes, thanks for mentioning Enigma. We'll keep an eye out on that, but no guarantees that we'll give it a good review until after we've seen the show ourselves. I'll keep an eye out for Future Boy Conan. After all, anything done by Miyazaki is worth at least a look twice. But usually Miyazaki films you can watch over and over. Like Spirited Away, I could watch that like every other month and I'd still enjoy it. Alright, well next we've got a fan mail from Azure. The subject is, hello to A-Show Radio. She writes, hey, listen to the show, great stuff. But no T-Man? I tried clicking on the fan mail link, but it appears to be broken. Just thought I'd let you know. Azure. Well, thank you very much, Azure. I've been a bit slacking on the website, unfortunately. And that's why the email link isn't working right now. However, I will be looking into going and correcting that soon, as well as putting up the archive of past ASO radio reviews. We're hoping to eventually turn that into a MySQL database and then dynamically make calls to it using PHP so people can sort the ratings by, you know, how well the shows are rated alphabetically and by the individual reviewer, so on and so forth, so that each anime gets the proper viewings for its score. As far as T-Man, well, we're all very saddened to be missing such a vital member of the ASO radio staff, but unfortunately life goes on and we just simply must deal with the cards we are dealt. Well, that more or less wraps up the fan mail. If you have any fan mail that you'd like to go and get on the show, go ahead and email asoradio@nz17.com or go ahead and send me a private message on our forum. I'll be getting up the email link on the website soon, as well as some additional updates to the website. So please be sure to check in every week for, of course, our new episodes and also to see any changes that may happen on the website.
Oh, baby, a hot spot.
And for this week's hot spot, we will be featuring the very first hot spot anime CD review. Yes, we're actually going to be reviewing a CD from the Love Hina series. Now, this doesn't contain the music of the series. Well, technically, it has the opening and closing songs, and I think one of the songs from the OAV. But what this is actually published here in America by Geneon. It's called the Hinata Girls Song Best Love Hina, and it contains the best selection of songs from it's a phenomenon that's not commonly known here in America, but there's actually this disease that affects Japanese voice actresses. Very interesting, because what it is when a Japanese voice actress does work on a popular anime, they become, we'll say infected, even though that's not a very polite term, by what I call STS, and what it basically means is they think because they've been on a popular anime, they think that they're talented vocally and should release at least one CD full of music. And this was, the Hinata girls, the Love Hina voice actresses were no exception, believe this or not, and STS basically forced their hands, forced their throats into going and singing a whole bunch of CDs. And the Geneon CD, Hinata Girls Song Best, is a selection of all of those CDs. Now I'm going to go ahead and featuring on the hotspot is going to be the very first ASO Radio CD demo mixes What it basically is following is going to be a about 2.5 minute long sampling, 10 second sampling of each of the tracks, all mixed together for your listening enjoyment, so you can form a bit of your opinion and go along with my review. Neat thing is, all of these demo tracks are going to be available on the ASO Radio website, so if you're thinking of going and buying any of the soundtracks that we've reviewed on the show, hop on over to the demo track section, give it a listen, and you can kind of have a preliminary bit of your mind made up about whether or not to go and go through the purchasing decision. So without further ado, here's our 2-minute, 20-second long sampler of the Love Hina songs. Alright, now as you can plainly hear from that sample, there is a large amount of variety to each of the tracks on here. Now, some of them are character tracks, like the one that features Sarah, and she's all like singing, no, no, you know, I'm always being told no and not to do things and whatnot, but I'm going to do them anyway. A couple of them, like I said, are from the various Love Hina anime. And some of them are original releases for this CD soundtrack. Funny thing about this CD is, of course, like I said, it has all of the girls from the series singing it. When you first listen to it, you're just like, well, this is average, you know, anime sing-song schlock. You know, it's just, you can listen to it, you can enjoy it while you listen to it, but it's largely forgettable. The thing with this CD is actually the more you listen to it, the more it grows on you. And so you won't find yourself, you know, exactly humming these songs, although bits and pieces of some of the songs will get stuck in your mind. You will find yourself with a greater and greater appeal for this soundtrack each time you listen to it. So it's funny because when you first listen to it, it's more of like a neutral rating. It's like you listen to it and you're like, wait, what did I just listen to? Did I just listen to a CD? But as you listen to it more and more, you really start to get into the groove of things, really start to like the CD. And so after you listen to it a couple of times, you're like, man, I'm going to have to record that to my computer's hard drive for easy listening. So the Hinata Girls song Best, it's a really kind of an odd duck CD, because while at first you'll listen to it and you'll be like, nah, I can pass this by. Like if you listen to it in a record store, for example. After listening it to a couple of times, you're like, man, I need to add that to my collection. So I can't exactly give this a highly recommended, but I'm not going to give it a neutral either, even though that's the initial impression. So I'm going to go and give this a recommended. Even after repeated listening, it doesn't really become a highly recommended, but it most definitely deserves a recommended, even if it takes you two or three times to listen to it. Well, you know what, DB3? It's episode 58, and we've said our bit, and so now that means it's time to end the show. It's really a shame, too, because, well, it's just so much dang fun going and recording this show every week. The fans really make it worthwhile writing in their fan mail, and of course, we enjoy making fun of the anime news, and providing quality, insightful anime reviews, which, of course, is our bit of public service. But I'd like to take this opportunity, since we've gotten everything else out of the way, to mention a very exciting development. On the ASO Radio website, as well as the other NZ17 Productions websites, including Macrobo V the Comic and Anifanaticu, the anime reviews website, we're going to be featuring some exclusive ASO Radio merchandise on the website.
Really?
Yes, we're going to have baseball caps and t-shirts featuring Bandy and some of the other characters from the Anifanaticu and Macrobo V websites, respectively. We're going to be including some various other neat little knickknacks here and there. Like, we're going to have the, it's going to be a chart that's more or less a fancy printed version of all of our ratings that we've done in the past. And we're also going to be including some really cool CDs. Now, you may remember a while back, long while back, at least 2 years, we developed, just for our hosts, the ASO Radio Definitive Collection CD. Well, for the first time ever, we're going to be making these available to the public. It's going to be a 2-CD set. The first volume will include seasons 1, 2, and 3, because we're missing a good number of seasons 1 and 2 when we didn't have people archiving and we had small hard drive space to contend with.
Yeah.
And the second one will be containing the best of, actually all of, season 4, because all of our episodes are dear to our hearts. And then, upcoming ASO Radio Definitive Collection 3 will be going and including all of the episodes from Season 5. And, of course, Season 5 will consist of both the episodes from Episode 53 to Episode 66, but it will also include... 65. It will also include the two in-betweeners, Episode 51 and 52, which won't be on the second volume, which will just contain Season 4, because while technically 51 and 52 were part of Season 4, we more or less ended the show on Season 50, went into hiatus for a while, and so 52 and 51 are really kind of their own creatures.
You know, that definitive collection is a very great thing.
Yes, it's a very, very good way to listen to the show.
It brings back great memories.
I guess. Times when T-Man was here, and times when our other co-hosts, such as Kiko Six was here, Tetsuya was here, and, of course, some other special guests and features we've had in the past. And, of course, the nice thing about these CDs is it doesn't just contain the episodes. It actually also includes exclusive bonus materials, including Bandy artwork and other nice little foibles.
True.
Yes, and so I definitely encourage everybody to check this out. It's not just your cheap average sort of, you know, website putting out a CD. This is actually very fancy. We haven't exactly decided whether we're going to use CDRs or actually manufactured press CDs, which I'll get to that subject in a moment. But each volume of this, each of the Definitive Collection CDs, because like I said, there's three that are going to be in the set, and because we're missing some of the early episodes, that's why the first one has the first three seasons, second has the fourth season, third will have the fifth, and from now on, each CD will contain a season. And so you've got to collect them all, but also, we'll be having full-color artwork on the CDs, very nice labels on these, and they will come in fancy jewel cases with inserts, I should mention, and so it will look perfect alongside all your other computer and audio CDs. Now, there is a bit of a question, however, on how exactly we should approach the manufacture of these CDs, because, well, there's two ways that we can go, well, three ways we can go about this, which actually, because of the branching, makes four possible final releases. Now, the way we'll be offering our merchandise is through the Cafe Press company. And Cafe Press, they go and they print shirts and other merchandise on demand. So they don't have this big back stock and we're not stuck paying all this money for pre-printed merchandise. And so they have a set price, and then we make a price above that, and so we make so much profit on each thing. And so we'll be doing that for our merchandise, but then the question arises, should we do this for our CD? There's two different ways that we can do the CD. First of all, the first of two ways is we either have a data CD containing all of the episodes, and then the other way of this decision is having an audio CD. Now, if we have the data CD, we can fit an entire season and more on a single disc. If, however, we go with Redbook Audio, your standard audio CD, then you can play it in any CD player, be it a computer or be it, you know, a Walkman or a stereo, and you can listen to it. But the downside to this is you'd only get about one episode per CD. Of course, it's nice to be able to listen to it everywhere you go, but then you'd have a lot of CDs, because this is our 58th episode. So unless you want 58 CDs, we really can't go the audio CD route. But what we will be doing is we have to decide whether to use CDRs, recordable, easily purchasable anywhere CDs, to do the definitive collection, or fancy press CDs. Now, with the costs of shipping and packaging and manufacturing, the CDRs would each be about $5. A very economical way to go. However, these would probably not have the fancy case and inserts, just the label, and would come in a paper sleeve. The other option is going with the fancy pressed CDs. Now, these will be professionally manufactured, the inserts, labels, and everything, so it's not just a cheap old stick-on label that you get like at, you know, Walmart Co. or whatever. You'd actually be on the CD just like disc art where you see the characters and then all around them it's just regular CD. Would come with the insert, possibly a four-page booklet in the front.
Wow.
And other very nice things. However, the base cost of this, plus our added-on profit, because, well, we're not just having this merchandise out there and selling it at cost out of the good of our hearts. The merchandise goes directly to fund ASO Radio's hosting and getting better audio equipment and other things necessary for the show, like renting anime. So the charge, after all of this, would be $10 for the fancy press CDs, or $5 for the cheaply made, economical CDRs. So, since we're having a hard time deciding here on the show, what we'll be doing is putting up a poll on the website in order to go and let the fans choose how the fans want the CDs to be. All the other merchandise, like the Bandy baseball cap and the definitive ASO Radio rating sheet, those will all be available from Cafe Press, but the CD, well, that's up to you, fans. So this November, be sure to go out and vote for the ASO Radio CD. What's your take on this, DB3? What would you prefer if you were a paying customer, a fan of ASO Radio, that wanted to go and support the show, but wanted a CD to add to their collection?
Personally, I'd probably go with the press.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much more, and it's better stuff all around. That's what I would personally feel. But
yes, very classy.
My CDR of the definitive collection runs quite well, and I don't have any complaints against it either, so.
Yes, and the CDRs, I should just mention this real quick in case I didn't make it clear, the CDRs will have a label on it. It'll be one of those stick'em labels. And the good part about the stick'em labels is, well, they're a bit expensive, but they're relatively cheap to do full color, unlike press CDs. The bad part, however, it's been revealed that the glue on these sticky labels actually deteriorates the CDs faster than a normal pressed CDs label is, because it uses, with a pressed CD, it actually puts a rubbery sort of plastic chemical on the CD, which then bonds on it and actually adds a layer of protection, whereas these labels are more or less just paper glued onto the CD. So the CDRs also would be a bit more prone to deterioration. But, on the other hand, I always encourage multiple CD purchases, as every purchase would go and, in fact, contribute towards ASO Radio's benefit. There's about a $2 profit on each CD, whether we go with the $5 or with the $10 route. So since we'd be benefiting the same, the choice really is up to you fans on how much quality you would like for those CDs. Well, anyways, I think this public service announcement ad has gone on long enough, so we must go and wrap up this episode of ASO Radio. So for episode 58, this is NV17.
NGV3.
Signing out.